mind. I can see myself sitting right here. Do you remember those little black seats we used to have? Those padded seats we bought for 25 bucks? Well, I can remember sitting here, and behind me sat two rows and sometimes three, a choir. And I would get ready to preach on Sunday morning, and I could hardly wait, because the choir would usually sing just before I preached. And I think I quite often floated right up to the path. Lots of things go through my mind. One thing goes through my mind, I wonder how I'm still upside up. That was 40 years ago. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. We are 3 weeks away from Easter. And my mind always slides to the anniversary. When it gets near Christmas, I can hardly wait for Christmas to come. And when it gets to close to Easter, I've been thinking about Easter for quite some time now. And I look through all my material and things about Easter. And I want to make sure that I'm not going to trample over anything that Pastor Don is preaching. But I doubt that he would take this path. I want you to look with me to Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to talk about that man of sorrows. We are going to end up there in Gethsemane. We'll talk about that. That's where we generally go. But I want you to kind of go with me throughout his total life. And think of the sorrows that come, especially when he began to preach the kingdom of God, and it was turned away. They didn't understand it, and the ones that kind of understood it turned him away. I want you to begin to feel that. Isaiah was told about it, and he wrote down some things that are very important for us to look at. I know that verse 5 and 6 is preached on often. I will get there. But you don't get too excited, because my whole message, you know that part. I'm going to spend a lot of time in the first two or three verses. Let's look at those. Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. Who's believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected by men, and God tells Isaiah to write, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we have seen him stricken, as smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was on him. And by his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's a very famous passage, especially the last two verses. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help me to do what I'm supposed to do here. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this privilege of standing before this congregation, many of whom I have been able to stand for many years, some for almost 40 years. And now we meet together tonight, and we are reminding ourselves of why we're here, because we belong to you, and how that works out. I pray that you would help us to see you tonight from this angle, that you were the man of sorrows and surely acquainted with grief. Help us to see it, feel it, appreciate it. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to understand that President Obama and I have a couple things in common. Number one, we can hardly do anything without reading it. And number two, we seldom know what we're doing, but we won't go on that. Having said that, I have to use notes nowadays. It just doesn't work otherwise. Consider with me verse 2. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. It did appear that way. He was born in a manger, the supposed son of a poor carpenter. No pomp and ceremony. When I preached some material down there where I'm preaching, I compared John the Baptist with Jesus' birth. If you look at John the Baptist's birth, there was a big celebration. Nobody even knew about this. We know the details, but I want you to recognize I am setting up how this man of sorrows appears on this earth. He seemed to be vulnerable. We know better, but he seemed that way. What the Jews expected was the son of David. Well, he was along that line, but by that time and by that generation, that was a poor kind of representation. That heritage was not very clear. It was clear, but not very high up any place. Nobody looked on it. And he was poor and he was powerless. So that's the first picture. Second thing I want you to notice, he was a picture of a root out of dry ground. What's that? His followers weren't very power brokers of the day either. The times were awful if you was a Jew in Roman times. And just think, he didn't have any TV promotion at all. But we get the secret here. If you don't get anything else out of this sermon this morning, I want you to bong on this one. He grew up before him. Ah. There was no surprises in heaven. God didn't say, whoops. God said, oh, I wish I wouldn't have had you do that. No, none of that. What he did and what he was and what he went through was total by the plan of God the Father, God the Son, who became the Son of Man, who totally followed the Father. I want you to feel that and see that, and let's move along a little bit as Isaiah points out that little privilege there. The secret is he grew up under God's direction. The world didn't see it. We see that in John 1:10. He came into the world knew him not. And we know the other part, came on his own didn't receive him. But heaven did. There was never any rejection up there. Not who he was. Just think. He grew up before the Lord with an undivided affection. Jesus was in connection with God the Father all the time. We see pictures of it. We see ideas about it, but I want you to know it was a consistent, constant thing. He practiced what he preached later on. Jesus tells others that we're to love the Lord with all our might and with all our soul and all our strength. He did. He was totally dependent on the Father. He made it that way. God made it that way. But in the process, when we're going to see him, the man of sorrows, and all the things that walks through there, the affection of the Son to the Father never faltered. Never faltered. He grew up before the Lord. I'm going to repeat that four times. He grew up before the Lord with an undivided heart. We've been looking at the heart relationship to God in a prayer meeting. We're kind of working on that. And it drew me to my favorite passage, which it talks about, blessed are the pure in heart. And that's the heart that's undivided. The heart that is pure before God is the one that desires within itself to do what the Father tells him to do. He has a completely undivided heart. I have a verse on that too. Jesus said, I do always, and I put in here, not sometimes, I do always those things that please him. He always pleased the Father. He had an undivided heart. Not only did he
love the Lord. We're going to talk about that. And all the, but the what? The plan was to be carried out, and he believed the plan. He followed the plan. He loved the Lord, and his heart was fully engaged with what God wanted him to do. He grew up before the Lord with an unopposing will. We see that. Pastor Don, I'm sure, will hit that along the line here when we get close to Easter. When the Lord our God, the Son of God, gets in Gethsemane, he is not voting. When he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done," he knew that was what it was going to be. After all, he was God the Son before he became Son of Man. He knew all, I don't understand that, but he knew all that. But when it comes to the Son of God doing what God wanted him to do, there was an unopposing will. Not my will, yours be done. Now, okay, I got one more. He grew up before the Lord with an unclouded intelligence. Wouldn't you wish you had one of those? He knew what God wanted him to say. He understood what God wanted him to do. And his mind was totally clear. This is the plan. This is what I'm going to do. And I have a verse for that too. Because he was perfect, unbroken communion with the Father, he always knew what he was supposed to do. I don't have a verse. I have to look up one. You give me a verse for that one. Now, let's kind of work on this. These principles, now I'm going to jump, need to be applied today. Let me look into your heart today. What the Lord is doing today is what he described to his Son. He's raising up dry ground people. People that are not very powerful in themselves at all. He's raising up tender plants, and you're one of them, if you know the Lord. You don't think so? Where did the Lord find you? Was everything okay when he found you? No, you were a sinner, and not. You probably were pretty a weak sinner. That's all I wrote down for myself. He found me weak, and then I put down there, that's where he found you. Now I want you to hear this. However, we're not only growing up before him like the Son did. We get to grow up in him. Because you all remember this verse, don't you? Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." I get help. The Son had all this. I can't go any farther than the Scriptures say about the Son. But I can say to you that the Father that knew and put his Son through everything that made him to be called the Man of Sorrows didn't do it because he had it out for him. He did it because he loved you and because he loved me. And I found the Lord as my Savior many years ago, and he's never quit loving me. He's never quit caring for me. And I know that, Father. I know this. That's what I know. And that's what I have. I want you. I'm looking for, without apology, I want you to feel something tonight. I don't want you just to hear it. So let's take these principles that I just talked about. And let's kind of just, I won't spend a lot of time because we don't have 3 or 4 hours. We could do it. If we humbly will give the Lord our Savior, well, let's do those 4 things. Our undivided affection. That means I want to live close enough to the Lord that I know what bothers him. Well, by the way, I kind of know what it is, don't you? It's sin. And if I have an undivided affection toward the Lord, sin's going to bother me because it bothers him. As I live before the Lord, I want to make sure that I have an undivided heart. Now we come back to our little phrase that we were working on this, Jim, a couple days ago, where the pure in heart see the Lord. That's who. Oh, I kind of like to do that, wouldn't you? You get to do that. How do you get to do that? Well, you have to have a pure heart. It's undivided. What the Lord is teaching, what the Lord says, what the Lord wants us to do, my heart, when it's right with God, is a pure heart. How about the unopposed will? Thy will be done. That's a wonderful thing to stay. Wasn't it good that the Lord did it? But what about this? Thy will be done. Sometimes we don't know what it is. But too often we know it and we're not too willing or ready to do it. We are supposed to be living our life before our God, us dry plants, that out of dry ground, almost rootless. We're to live our lives before Him with His power, with total dependence all the time. So if I got an undivided affection and an undivided heart and an unopposed will, well, maybe I could get the fourth one, an unclouded intelligence. I know I got a long ways there to go, because some of my intelligence, my wife will tell you, is not too good. But you know, I got something I can, I got a touch point. Teach me thy way, O Lord. That's what I want. See, I want you to feel the fact that you belong to this Lord. And this Lord that came down out of heaven and lived on this earth and died for us and rose again the third day was the one that for a long time, his total life down here, had many sorrows because he had to deal with sin and its effects, and he felt it like you and I never would. I want us to see that. Now, let me see. What else am I supposed to say? Oh, yeah. I'm going to put... Now, it's likely when you and I look in our heart of hearts, we still see pretty dry ground, right? If you're not under conviction yet, I'm not preaching right. Huh? I mean, is everything perfect between you and the Lord? If you're not there yet, this is what I'm talking to you about. Okay. I put down there, that's where the grace of God works best, in dry ground. Aren't you happy about that? Lord, pick me up and put me on higher ground. That's what He's done for me by His great grace. And that's what He's done for you. We need to work on doing this all the time. I'm going to make an application I made probably 20 years ago. No, 12 years ago. Around the time I retired here. I was reading a book by Larry Crabb. And I was reading that book when I was preaching this sermon. And this is what he said in his book. We tend to doubt God's goodness. This has dulled our appetite for good. The thing that ought to just click with you is you want to be right. You want to be righteous. That's the peak, you know. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. We desire instead to be accepted by certain people more than God. A loss of respect of a friend is more important than the loss of fellowship with the Lord. Getting a better paying job is more exciting than seeing God work through to encourage us or encourage someone else. We try everything in this world offers rather than drawing close to Him and trusting Him to fill out all our needs. Now, Jesus didn't live for the Father so that things would be easier for Him. But He lived for the Father because He lived to give His will, and He lived to carry this out. As a root out of dry ground, He had no form of comeliness, and we see Him, there's no beauty, He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He did that because the Father said, this is what I want you to go through. That's the way I see it. That's all point number one. The other points flow fast, believe it or not. Well, faster anyway. Let's consider verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men. And there's our statement. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This is what I wrote down. He could have been called, or could be called, a man of holiness. He never sinned. A man of eloquence. Never was a man that spoke like this man. a man of love. Love has never shone out of a life that it did from Him. When He tells our light to shine in this world, it was always on. You open up the gospel, you turn the light on when you see Jesus. That's the way it ought to be. You know that? You need to see that when you see Him. Think of the sorrow of our Savior for a minute, who was love incarnate, who reaches out to the human heart that rejects His love, which gives us salvation. The Bible says that it's the grace of God that brings us salvation. That's what Titus 2:11 says. It's the grace of God and the love of God and the concern of God, who is this man of sorrows, that comes and goes through all this so He could reach out to you and to me. We ought to be, of all people, most thankful people. I wrote down here, a love beyond our greatest comprehension that is described as everlasting in its results. You learned that verse when you were 5 years old or younger. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, that He gave His only begotten Son to do all that He did, to be what He was, and to die for our sins. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but there it is, have everlasting life. That's what you got. That's what you got. Everlasting life. How did you? No, you're just a root out of dry ground. How do you deserve that? You don't. How did Jesus ever make to it? Oh, the secret was there. He came up before Him. It was never a thing out of place. Now, we're not God. But that application I make, at least to me, is very easy to make. I hope that I've been able to transfer that to your mind and to your thoughts. Well, that's page 2. That's done. Things are going along lovely. Consider verse 4. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we've seen Him stricken, smitten by God. This is what I wrote down here. We need to take this very personally. That's our sin that caused His grief. All the sorrows that sin causes. Listen to Redpath. This is the guy. I love this guy. I don't use him anymore because he goes off the track sometimes. But I sure love the way he talks. I hope you can hear this. Stop now, he says, and ask if you ever added sorrow to the man of sorrows. I wonder if we've caused his heart to be sad because we've not appreciated his love. It was not only in the first century, but today that he comes to his own. Yes, to his own, his people who've been redeemed by his blood, his children, to find they've barred the door. How many times Jesus wanted to talk to you, friend, early in the morning? He was there to meet you, but you missed the appointment. He has come to the garden of your life to find fruit, but alas, He found it barren. He came that He might have fellowship and communion, but were too busy. You failed to listen to Him. As He came to your soul, and He found the wall of separation, of ruins, a life that was barren, instead of welcome, He received rebuff. You hear that in that verse? You see that in that verse? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. It ought to be the constant desire not only to honor and please the Lord, but to have Him look down from heaven. Don't you want this? I would like for a day to go by when God the Father, and the Son is up there watching too, said, Jameson actually got it right today. Wouldn't you like that day? When their heart's right, your soul's right, everything's right, and you got it all right to God, and you go to sleep that night, and you go to confess the sins like you usually do, and you forget them. You didn't come up with them. Wouldn't that be the day? I haven't hit that yet, but wouldn't that be the day? It ought to be that day. It ought to be the day that we want to go for. I know I'm taking a principle and I'm spreading it, but it won't hurt you once in a while to do that. Number 4, consider verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. God, in his mercy, treats sin like a disease. A disease that he can cure. Can I confess my sins and forsake my sin? It's totally forgiven. It's gone. We know that's not the whole story. We know that sin is a crime against God. We know that sin is the source of every trouble. We know that sin causes death. And now we step on holy ground. We step into Gethsemane. And he begins to see all our sin. He begins to see what Isaiah is talking about. The fruition of that sorrow comes into Gethsemane, amongst many other things that you could preach many different areas. But that's your sin that he saw there. That's your sin that he had sorrow for. All those illegal judgments. You know the story of Easter. We jump to Easter because we want to get there. The song I asked Randy to have us sing just before the message tonight jumps, doesn't it? We want to get there. Why not? I mean, it's the answer. Hallelujah. What a Savior. But don't forget the first part. Man of sorrows. That's who he was. For you and for me. Let that sink in. And thank the Lord that he would do that for us. And remember, he did all that because he went, he lived before the Father and followed him perfectly to the end. Now, we're not the God the Son, and we got all kinds of other problems, but we can take those principles I told you about, our will and our heart and our intelligence, our soul, our inner being, and we can give all that to the Lord. I think that's the way to go. And I think the Lord would bless us if we... I think we live with God over here too long. We need to have God right here. And we need to think about him in our life. And we need to think about this God that died for us as a real person, going through real sorrows. That's what the Lord laid on my heart to preach. So verse 6 is what we always preach on. And we should. I'll read it. That's our problem. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And our sin laid on him. And he took all of our sin and died for them. And the man of sorrows took it all on. And then... come with me just for a minute. Let's check the tomb. There's only angels. Just you and I and the angels are there. It says Jesus came forth from the grave. That was not a man of sorrows there. That was a man of completion. That was a man who was the Son of God, who paid it all, and up from the grave he arose. You see it all? Do you feel any of that tonight? Don't live with God over here. Thank the Lord for who he is. I am not advocating that you drop into this kind of a passage all the time and feel bad all the time. I'm not advocating that. But I am advocating that you go back and recognize that God the Son, who became the Son of Man, did it all because... Let's read a couple verses again. Drop into verse 2. He shall grow up before him. It was all before him, because of him and following him, that he grew up and all these things took place, Isaiah tells us about. This is a simple illustration, but you know by now that the old preacher was quite simple-minded. He's not got too much better. But this is, here's a simple illustration. Here's a lady sewing a button on her husband's coat. As she's doing so, she suddenly looks up and says, "You know, the trouble is, I can't really see what I'm doing." Of course, she can't, bless her heart. She has her back to the light. She must turn around to the window and face the light. That's the trouble to some people who say they can't see the gospel. They're standing in their own light. They think too much of themselves. All the light is in Jesus. But people are in darkness because they put themselves in the way of the light. If only they would move to one side and stand in the light. Behold the Lamb of God who's borne away the sin of the world. Their sin, they'd be healed. That's what I think the picture is. God went through all of this. God the Son went also through all this as the Son of Man. And He is to be viewed as a man of sorrow. But that is what He went through. I just now remember someplace I skipped a page. I was thinking about this when I think about... I guess I'll have you turn there. It's in my notes someplace. Some page I didn't turn over. And it'll get there. I'll get there. I want you to go... Before we close, it's 5:02. I got time to look it up. Hang in there. Just hold your breath till I find one. Oh, no, don't hold it that long. Okay. It's in here someplace. I know, because I just wrote it down. When he looks over Jerusalem, I was looking at just before I came tonight, and I wrote it down here someplace. It's in Matthew. It's in here. I know it is. Not in that page. You see why I don't preach very often to here? Because they seem to be nutty in a fruitcake. Okay. All right. I know the verse. I know where it is, but I can't seem to find it. Wouldn't it drop your... Here we go. All right. Uh-huh. When he felt it all. I'll have to quote it for you because I can't remember the verse. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Remember that? 23, Matthew 23. Matthew 23, 37. Thank you. It's in those notes someplace. Matthew 23. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want you to feel what he says here. 23:37. And you're there and you're waiting for the old man to show up there. I'll get there. Here we go. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophet and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. When God speaks to you about things that are wrong and sin, listen. When you recognize how weak you are, recognize there's help. When you recognize what God has felt, thank Him for that, ask Him for direction and power to live to make Him smile, not have sorrow because of you. That's it. That's the end of the message. Thanks for listening. Most of you are awake. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for Isaiah's passage there. And I thank you for the center part from my view. That Jesus, who went through all this and called the man of sorrows and all the sin problems that he's had to take on himself, all those things that we are part of the problem, that he did that because he loved us. Loved us as sinners. He didn't love us when we all got just things straightened out. He loves us as sinners enough to save us. And now we're saved sinners. And He doesn't love us just because we do everything right, because we don't. But He loves us because He loves us. That's who He is. Help us to have a response to a loving God, to be loving children. Help us have a desire and the great insight of ourselves to listen and to follow our Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When I made the sermon, or when I did it the 37th time or whatever, what came to my mind is this little chorus. I thought this ought to be my response. I'll try to falter my way through it, and then you'll sing it with me. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life will be. I'll live for Him who died for me. Isn't that it? My Savior and my God. If that's your